I wonder what your idea of God is, what you think God is like. People have very different ideas about what God is like. Some people think of a being who created the world but now sits back and just watches passively as it all unfolds and some might say goes horribly wrong. Or maybe a remote being somewhere out there who gave us a set of rules that we need to keep and is maybe keeping a tally of our faults and mistakes so that he can hold us to account at the end of our lives. Or maybe someone, something to cry out to in desperation when things are going wrong, a last resort. All of these imply a God that's very far removed from our everyday lives. But the God we see in the Bible is not one who's remote, but one who communicates, who continually speaks to his people. In the book of Genesis, right at the start of the Bible, we read how God spoke the world into being. God said, "Let there be light." Now, the creation story is not meant to be a literal account, but the poetic imagery is based on the character of God as one who speaks. There's power and creativity in his words. He speaks creation into existence. And his first act to both the animals and the birds as he creates them, and then to humans, is to bless them and speak to them. And God continues to speak to us through creation. In Psalm 19, we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." And then as the story of God's people unfolds in the Old Testament, we read of God speaking to individuals and to his people as a whole. He calls Abraham to follow him, and later Moses. If you were here in the summer, we had our summer series on Moses, and we heard about him hearing God as he stood before the burning bush. Or we read of the prophet Samuel as a small boy hearing God's voice and thinking it's the voice of the priest Eli in the temple, until Eli realizes that it's God himself who is speaking to Samuel. And so on and on through the Bible, each of the prophets who are called by God to speak his words to the people, sometimes they're words of challenge and judgment, at other times words of hope and comfort, depending on their situation. This is a God who speaks. And then as we move into the New Testament, we find Jesus described as, in John's Gospel, as the Word, the one who was there at creation. He writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made." Jesus is the Word God spoke in the beginning, through whom everything is created. Words are how we communicate, and in Jesus we have God communicating himself in person as the Word of God, the Word made flesh, living amongst us. This is a God who speaks, and he speaks to us supremely through Jesus. And the words God speaks matter. Jesus himself said, quoting from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, "People do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Of course, bread, food, physical sustenance matter. The cost of living crisis has shown us that, with its drastic impact on people who are struggling to afford it. But we know that's not enough. Material things on their own, however lowly or lavish a lifestyle we can afford, on their own, they don't satisfy. In John's Gospel again, when many of Jesus' followers were turning away because they found his teaching too difficult, Jesus asked his closest disciples if they also would leave him. And Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So how do we hear God speaking? Where do we find these words of eternal life? Our reading today is from 1 Timothy chapter 3, and at verse 16 we read, all scripture, in other words the Bible, is God-breathed or inspired by God. God is breathing through the words of scripture. Of course, the Bible was written by many human authors, but behind that, like the architect who's masterminded the whole project and uses stonemasons and carpenters and electricians and plumbers to bring it into being. But behind all that, there is the architect who has designed it all. It's God breathing through the scriptures. God speaks supremely through Jesus, the Word made flesh. And the Bible is the book about Jesus. The Old Testament points to him. And then the New Testament gives us accounts of his life and teaching on earth and what follows from that. So today we have this wonderful resource, the Bible, through which God can speak to us and through which Jesus is revealed to us. But maybe we think, well, that's all very well, but the Bible is a very old book. Most of it's written more than 2,000 years ago. How can it be relevant today? There's a statistic from, I think, from the United States, but it could apply to many other countries, that the Bible is the most commonly owned and least read book. There's one on the shelf in many homes, and it stays there. How is it relevant in today's society when so much has changed? Culture, science, technological advances. We're in a completely different world. There are no smartphones in the Bible, no social media, no nuclear threats, no International Space Center. And yet we know, don't we, that human nature hasn't changed. Our human needs, our interactions with one another, even if they take a different form, basically haven't changed. We have the same core needs, the same capacity to love and be loved, to hurt and be hurt, to be angry, to do the wrong thing, to do the right thing, to be proud, to show compassion, and so on. And so while the context may have changed, and it has changed enormously, how we live our lives in relation to one another and to God in fundamental ways has not. So if we want to know what God is saying to us today about how we can best live, how we can flourish in this world, and live as his people, we have this amazing resource available to us, the Bible, through which God, the creator and sustainer of the world, the one who has shown the extent of his love for us in Jesus, through the Bible, God speaks to us today. Perhaps its very availability, the ease with which we can access it, makes us value it less. In countries where Christians are persecuted, people go to huge risks to get copies of it. I read yesterday an obituary of someone called Brother Andrew, who you may have heard of, who spent many years of his life smuggling Bibles into Eastern Europe when it was forbidden, and he took huge personal risks to do that. If you delve back, even in this country, into history, people died in the cause of making it available to us in our own language. That's how precious and important they thought it was for people to be able to read it and hear God speak to them. And yet so often we have it just sat on our shelves. Meanwhile, we're bombarded by other, less helpful voices on social media, on television, through advertising. We're taking in and absorbing many different ideas, for example, about meaning, purpose, identity. I went to the cinema a week ago, and before the film that I was watching came on, there were lots of trailers for other films, and I was looking at those and thinking, these are very unhelpful worldviews being expressed here. What are the values these other voices are shaping in us, and how much time do we give to them versus hearing from God? Now, it's not that we should be shutting ourselves off from those other voices. We need to have a faith that is relevant for today's world. We can't compartmentalize our lives into a God bit that is completely separate from the rest of our lives. John Stott, who was a great preacher from the last century, used to talk about double listening. Listening to God and listening to the world. Praying with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper, or maybe it should be a smartphone or tablet today, in the other. So that we can bring the wisdom of the Bible into our current lives and the world. What is God saying about our situation today? About the war in Ukraine, about the crisis in government, the cost of living, our own daily struggles and decision-making. How do we respond in a way that reflects the character of God? I'm not going to pretend that all of the Bible is an easy read. Some of the Old Testament passages are very difficult to reconcile with what we know of God from the New Testament, what we see in Jesus. So my advice is don't start with the Old Testament. But certainly we can't ignore it. It's essential for seeing the whole picture of God's plan for the world and for salvation. We need to wrestle, engage with those hard bits. Make use of commentaries or apps that can give context and explain. One person described his struggles with the difficult bits of the Bible as like doing a crossword. You do the easy ones first, the ones that you know you can easily get the answers to. You start to fill it in, and gradually you get more clues for those more difficult ones. On the other hand, there's an awful lot in the Bible that is very easy to understand. There are some words attributed to Mark Twain. Some people are troubled by the things in the Bible they can't understand. What troubles me are the things I can understand. In other words, the words that are easy to understand but hard to follow. So how should we read it? How can we hear God speaking to us through the Bible? The first thing is that we need to find time. And I make no apologies for that. I know it's difficult and everyone is very busy and trying to fit something more into the schedule is so hard. Time is often our most valuable possession. But maybe we can think about how much time we're allowing those other competing voices from social media, our screens, to fill our minds. How do we filter out the background noise? What is giving us our values? If we want to be followers of Jesus, if we want to live our best lives, we need to be routinely touching base with him, making it part of our daily pattern to hear his voice. And nowadays, technology gives us a whole load of help with that. You can read or listen to it on your phone while on the bus or the tube or doing some mundane task. There are lots of apps that help us to apply and think about what we're reading, like The Bible in 1 Year or Lectio 365. If you want to know more about those, have a word with me or Steve to find out more about them. But they're really helpful each day, giving you a portion of the Bible to read and then reflect on. If you haven't got a Bible and you need one, then I'm sure we can find one for you. Do get a contemporary translation. Don't get a 400-year-old translation. That's not the most helpful way to understand the Bible. But we can easily find one for you if you'd like one. And when we read or listen to the Bible, let's expect God to speak to us. It's not an academic exercise. Think of it as more like a love letter. God, who loves us, wanting to communicate with us. Sometimes there will be something that speaks directly into our situation. An encouragement, a reassurance, a challenge, some guidance. Sometimes we are building up a reservoir of God's words within us that we can draw on when we need to, perhaps in time of crisis. I read about a woman who, she and her husband were working in Christian ministry overseas, and her husband was killed in an accident, in a car accident. And in her grief, the trauma, she was unable to read the Bible or pray. And yet, because throughout her life she had read the Bible so often, so regularly, She found God speaking to her and comforting her through words of the Bible that were so familiar to her. In Psalm 19, the psalmist describes God's words as more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. So let's not waste this wonderful resource that we have. Can we commit to finding time in our busy schedules for perhaps the most important thing we can do? Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury, wrote in a book a few years ago, "A day without worship, in other words, a day without connecting with God, is a day wasted."